Join Kenneth Copeland and David Barton for a special Believer's Voice of Victory as they study God's Word about God's righteousness and influence in our nation. A timely message that will strengthen your thinking and encourage your heart.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Jesus is alive, on the throne, and prayer still changes things. And I want you to know something. Things are changing.
They are.
Things are changing. Now, you don't see it. The things don't change by broadcasting at first and then it happening. No, it happens and then somebody broadcasts. Mm-hmm. It's coming from the bottom up, responding from Jesus, and the devil's caught in the middle, and he is squirming and squalling and bucking, but his deal is so shot down. He is so through, it ain't even funny.
Yeah.
So now, in our elections, in what we do now, has to do not only with the whole nation, but it has to do with you personally. Where do you stand? You take your stand with God. And then do I vote or do I not vote? I just let them have it. Just letting them have it is the reason things are in the mess today, because that's the reason we got the judges that we've got
today.
That's right. So what do? You find out what God says about it, and you stand on His Word. Like we talked about taxes, we talked about abortion, we talked about homosexuality, we talked about all these different things. And it doesn't look like your vote can change that, but you vote to change it anyway.
That's right.
And then you stand on God's Word and you pray to that end.
That's right.
And as we do that and as we stand together, it's changing.
It is.
It's changing.
It is.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. We pray for this entire radio and television audience around the world. And we thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. David, let's go back over there to that first Psalm. That's such a revealing thing. Yesterday we were talking about the different, the tax situations. And the taxation is so balled up because of a violation of this psalm. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and that makes him like a tree planted by the waters. Now, to delight means that he holds God's word in high esteem.
Yeah.
So, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, walking like other nations, wanting to be like other people, and then certain laws that were enacted in line with God's word, like the usury laws
right.
and the capping of interest and all that kind of thing, and now there is a terrible price being paid for it. So, when you enact that kind of stuff, you go to the Word of God and you research and you look and you pray and you cast your vote as close to that you can, and then you pray. You stand on that Word and you say, God, this is what it says in your Word. And so we're looking to you to bring it to pass for us. We're individuals here. We're a church body here. We're a family of people here. We're walking by your word. He'll treat you like you did it right.
That's right.
I noticed, many, many years ago, we just first began to barely prosper and we got out of debt and I promised God I'd tithe. I tell you, well, I'm doing fine. I'm coming along and everything's growing good. And somebody brought this up to me. Brother Copeland, shouldn't we tithe after taxes since we're going to turn on? I said, No.
First fruit.
Yeah, you
right
do
off
it first.
The top.
And then the Lord started talking to me about my taxes and so forth. He said, you're doing that, but you're not exercising your faith in it much.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what do I need to be doing? He said, now that you're tithing and you are a tither, I rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he said, I will always keep you prepared for every unexpected tax bill you get.
Yeah.
And David...
Yep.
Oh, there have been some Lulu's, man, over the years that just socked me cross-eyed, and I looked at that. And the other thing was, don't grumble about it.
Mm-hmm.
Pay your taxes without grumbling about it. And I said, yeah, at least you ought to have the right to gripe about it. I mean, no. He said, don't grumble about it. He said, bless that before you send it to the government. And he said, you release your blessing. You're a blesser. You're not a condemner. You release your blessing in this thing, and you'll always be prepared for every tax bill. And here we are. That's been a total of about between 35 and 40 years ago. And I mean, not one time has ever some big unexpected tax thing hit me. If I kept myself diligent to praise God and bless the government instead of just cussing them all the time and all that, and keep myself straight, God has always provided for glory in me, and somehow or another, they would always be there. They'd, well, yeah, boy, that's unexpected, but look here. I mean, look what happened to us just a couple of weeks ago. We've got the money to do it.
Yeah.
And it has happened again and again and again. So my point is this. If you'll obey God, He'll treat you as though you never sinned.
That's right.
He'll treat you like everything was okay because He'll always make up your difference. If something does hit you like that, you need to examine yourself and see what you need to be doing here.
Yeah.
That's the reason you need to vote. That's the reason you need to get involved.
The example you gave, this just is a good example like that in Matthew 17, last five verses. Jesus' disciples walk into Capernaum, and the tax collectors hit them at the door, and they go to Peter and say, hey, does your boss, does Jesus pay taxes? And Peter says, of course. And then he goes and says, Jesus, we got this
pay
tax. They've got this tax they want over here. We came into town and they're hitting us with taxes.
Yeah,
and Jesus said, go down, catch a fish, open his mouth, pull that gold coin out of his mouth. You go pay your tax, you go pay my tax. He provides money for taxes from the most unusual places. If you
and
have to go fishing.
Jesus didn't get out and say, oh, man, not the
not
blankety blank government
again.
No. He just said, Rabbi can't get it any other way. Go fishing.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. And praise God.
There's a miraculous provision.
What was the burden in that?
None. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It didn't burden Peter at all.
Yeah.
Didn't really burden Jesus. All the Holy Ghost had to do is reveal to him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's blessed.
Yeah.
The supernatural is available when you need it.
That's right.
And so that's the reason we need to study and make show ourselves approved and vote. Vote strong. Pray when you vote and make a stand. Praise God if nobody in your family like it. Don't tell
That's
them.
Right.
Just tell them, say, I voted behind a curtain and it ain't none of your business who I voted
right.
for. Amen. And just laugh at them and go on.
Yeah.
Praise God. It's your business. You and God's who you voted for.
And it is God's business.
Oh,
and,
it is.
And we better walk into that booth knowing that it's God's business and that when we vote, we're there to do God's business. But we're there to walk not in the counsel of ungodly. And that's the trick, is you got to be really discerning as a voter. Because there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. So we got to be discerning and say, well, you know, that sounds right, but, you know, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about these? And we've been talking about platforms, knowing where we stand. Well, my gosh, you don't know what the Bible says about either unless you read the platforms. So start by reading the platforms and then do a biblical analysis and say which one's closer.
Yeah.
And this becomes really important because neither one of them may be right on. You know, none of the platforms is going to be exactly where the Bible is. So you have to say, well, I can't support either one of them because neither one's perfect. No, you can't do that. There is a great principle that God set forth In Exodus 23, verses 29 and 30, Deuteronomy 7, 22, he says, I will give you this land, but I'll only give it to you little by little. He says, you're not allowed to take it all at once. And if we get in this mentality of, oh, well, none of them are all the way where they're supposed to be, I'm not doing either one. No, that violates the principle of incrementalism. God set it out. He said, I'm going to give you a little. And we look at the candidates. None of the candidates are perfect. Welcome to real life.
Yeah. You know, amen.
Until Jesus comes down from heaven and sticks his name on the ballot, we're not going to have a perfect candidate. So you got to figure out which one is going to do more of what God, which one gives God a better opportunity to bless, which one's closer to his principles.
You get into a situation there where you're going to spend some time praying.
That's right.
Because, and cut everything else off.
Yep.
And you get into situations like this in local elections, really.
You do
really
in a hurry.
Now, Brother Copeland, I mean, what difference does it make who you vote in as mayor?
Yeah, it does.
When you've got now a vice presidential candidate that was mayor of a small town up in Alaska, don't tell me that mayor election in that little town in Alaska wasn't important.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what happens is that the scripture says you choose out leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. You choose your local, your county, your state. That is a farm team. And what happens is that leader of 10 is likely to become a leader of 50, who's likely to become the leader of 100, who's likely to become the leader of 1,000. And once they're leaders of thousands...
He should become.
Should become.
Yeah.
And once they're leaders of thousands, it is tough to get rid of them. It's a whole lot easier to get rid of the bad guys when they're leaders of 10 than when they're leaders... When I first got involved in political stuff, we had a Speaker of the U.S. House who was very, very, very ungodly. He started out to be a local mayor in my backyard. And we said, man, if we just would have whipped him as mayor, we wouldn't have to feed him. But, you know, and that's why.
Now I'm going to have to pray him out.
That's right.
Before we could have just
we could
say, it.
And it would have been real easy
and
down
elected
there.
Elected him in the first place.
We wouldn't have to have a 500,000 votes up here. We could have done it with 200 votes back here.
There you are.
And don't ever say that. See, this is the thing. When you ask mayors and city council and public utility districts where they're running for office, go ahead and ask them about abortion. And they're going to say, hey, I'm on the school board. I can't do anything about abortion. No, it tells me your worldview. It tells me whether you respect what God has said in the Bible about
life.
Where are
you going from here?
That's right.
Because I need to farm you out right there.
Because I don't care whether you deal with abortion there or not, or homosexuality or anything else. You may end up being a leader of 1,000 one day.
I want to know right now
before I get behind you and help move
you. The principle that lies in that is... if you can stop it while it's a seed, it's a whole lot better than waiting until it's got roots, and now you got to dig the roots up.
Well, that was the parable of Matthew 13, that the enemy went in and sowed the tares, and they said, Lord, do we go root it up? You'll destroy all the good
stuff.
You're
going to tear your crop up.
That's right. He said, just you got to leave it now. You know, now that it's up there, you can't do much with it. And that's where we've really got to be diligent down in Lord. And I will guarantee you that is not what the media has focused on in this election. All we've heard about is presidential candidates. We haven't seen congressional races. We haven't seen Senate races. We sure as heck haven't seen
government. It's been zero, hadn't it been, David? I really hadn't noticed that much, but you're right.
Here is where it's most important. And see, the other thing that really strikes me, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Maybe the most ungodly source in America is the media. And if we base our vote on what we hear from the media, and why do I say that? Because there's a group of researchers, Rothman Lichter did a famous book on the values of the media. Now, you know, any given time in America, the most recent poll is 92% of this nation believes in God. You're going to have about 60% in church on any given weekend, 70%, somewhere going to go to church over a month. 86% of the media has never darkened the door of a church.
Wow.
86%. So tell me that they're counsel of the godly? I don't think so.
Couldn't
fear God enough to even walk in a church, and I'm going to let them give me my information on how I'm going to vote this election? And that's clearly the counsel of the ungodly. If I walk in the counsel of the ungodly, which is, and by the way, 9 out of 10 media people are pro-abortion. That's not the people I want counseling me on my viewpoint, because that's not biblical. And by the way, in the media, they have a greater respect for Fidel Castro than they do for Ronald Reagan. Mm. Now, that's a worldview that I don't need counseling me.
And that was part of that study.
That's part of that study.
That's better.
I mean, you go through, and everywhere America is on a value, they're opposite. They're polar opposite. And here's what was really significant. They are completely opposite for what most Americans believe, but 68% of the media people said that they felt like they had a moral responsibility to move people to their viewpoint. So what you got to understand is the media considers itself to be an evangelist for its viewpoint. It is evangelizing you with the stories it puts out. That is working as an evangelist. And if we take counsel from the ungodly in how we cast our vote, we don't get blessed. We prosper by not taking the counsel of the ungodly, but by getting back there. They're not talking about the leaders of tens and 50s and 100s. They're talking about the leaders. And those guys are important. There's no question about it, because they're going to determine our judges and all sorts of policy we've got. But don't walk in the counsel of the media, I mean, quite frankly. And by the way, it would sure be nice if, and I'm seeing this happen. I don't mean to say this in a pejorative way. I'm seeing godly people get called back into the media, because we used to be there. Mm-hmm. We got out of it in the 20s and 30s, said, oh, that's secular. Do you know that up until 1968 in Hollywood, the church had veto power over movies in Hollywood? And in 68, we said, we don't need to do that anymore. I mean, that's why we were getting Sergeant York, and we were getting Ten Commandments and Ben-Hur and movies like that, as opposed to where we are now. But over the last 8 to 10 years, God has called more people back in the media. We're seeing more. I know I have several friends now who are anchors on national news programs that are godly, godly, spirit-filled folks, really good folks. In the same way, I know a lot of folks who are now making movies, and they're doing really good at box office. Mm-hmm. It's changing, but still, I mean, we can't let the media shape our view of what we're going to do in this election with our vote. We can't do it. I mean, they've got a secular viewpoint. They don't darken the door of a church. Their values about life are opposite of ours. And I'm going to listen to their advice.
I was thinking, I've thought this so many times, but when we've been attacked in the media a lot over the years. And the Lord told me years and years ago, he said, don't read that. Yeah. He said, you have a very difficult time getting it out of your mind when it's a lie.
That's right.
And when it's something that was derogatory. And he said, you don't have a difficult time getting it out of your mind if they brag on you. And he said, a lot of times that's more dangerous than the other. He said, just ignore it. Just don't touch it. And you don't need to be defending yourself on this anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a defense of the gospel.
Right.
But they weren't attacking what I was preaching. It was attacking me and things like that. But now, I said all that to say this. That what came out of that in praying for the people that were doing this, and they're not my enemy, and I don't desire to see them hurt or damaged in any way.
That's right.
I'm praying for them. And then I began to think, you know, if I spent my time reading that and I allow that to shape my thinking.
That's right.
And I don't know the person that wrote it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's dangerous. I'm turning my mind and my thinking over to somebody I don't know.
That's right.
Somebody I wouldn't recognize if he walked up on the street.
That's right.
Now, David, that's not very smart.
No.
And when you get into the backgrounds of a lot of those people and their lifestyle and so forth, you find things that you finally come to this conclusion, I'm allowing someone to shape my thinking and affect my household that I would not allow in my house if I knew them personally.
Right. But I invite them in every night and listen
every
to what
day.
They tell me.
Every day.
And that can't be done. Christians have got to, they've got to exert enough energy to at least get on the internet and read for themselves and study for themselves and read the websites of the candidates. Call the candidates. Call their the websites give the positions. We talked last week about votesmart.org. You can go check the voting records of these state candidates and these federal candidates and these presidential candidates. Go see what they've done. I mean, we can do that in 30 minutes, and that'll shift everything we will have heard in the media. Scripture says, prove all things and hold fast that which is true. And too many times we don't test what the media gave us. We just accept it. We hold it fast as if it's true, and we're supposed to say, no, hold off there. I've got to check that out. Proverbs 18:17 says, one side sounds good until the other side comes and presents his side of the story. And we get one side from the media. And if we buy that and don't go check it out and see the rest of the story, then we get deceived and we pay the price for that. I mean, 2 Thessalonians says you can believe a lie and you may have been innocent doing it, but if you believe a lie, you get the results of believing the lie. It says you believe a lie and be damned.
It'll
kill you for believing a lie. You know, gravity won't make you fall, so jump out there. That's a lie. You believe it. You're going to pay a price for it. So that's why we have got to be smart as we come up on Election Tuesday, before Tuesday, get in there, pray about your vote. It is a contract between you and God. You're standing for righteousness in the nation. Where does he want you to put that vote to help move the nation? It may not be all at once, but incrementalism, if you're going to move it forward part of the way, where are you going to cast your vote? Know what platform you're going to stand on. Check that platform and check where these candidates are, the dog catcher all the way through president. Know what they believe, because you're going to be voting on 40 to 50 people on that ballot on Tuesday. It's not just president up top you're checking. You know what? And I'm going to tell people right now, do not vote a straight party ballot for either party. Take the decency to at least read the name of the people you're going to be voting on. You know, I mean, just going in and saying, oh, I'm all for this party or all for that. No, you vote for people. There's some good people and bad people in both parties. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. Mm-hmm. You don't vote for a party. You vote for people.
That's true.
At least take the decency to read the names of the people that are going to be your leaders one way or the other. We should have investigated before we got there. All these ballots will be out available in every state ahead of time so that you know every person on that ballot. There's no reason to go into that ballot box unprepared. The Secretary of State website in every state has the ballot out there for that state. We ought to see, I mean, you're going to be voting from school board through president. Every one of them. Every one of them. We ought to know every one of them.
My goodness. We're out of time.
That went in a hurry.
Amen. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to come down to the conclusion of this as the Lord wills and as he directs. We're going to go back to where we began with the judges.
Yeah.
And God said, I will replace your judges and your lawyers as at the first.
Yep.
And so we're going to go make some comparisons and just see what the Lord will bring out in this. Praise God. David, I'll be back in just a moment.
From its earliest moments as a fledgling union, and for decade upon decade, Americans recognize the Holy Bible as central to the shaping of a strong, enduring society. Today, this legacy of scriptural influence is under attack. So, Kenneth Copeland Ministries is pleased to present The Influence of the Bible on America. David Barton of Wall Builders hosts this 90-minute DVD that sets the record straight.
So in this program, we're going to see firsthand the historical records that categorically prove the Bible has directly affected the most important aspects of our culture.
This inspirational DVD is a must-have resource for believers around the world. Barton presents the words, pictures, and undeniable documents of America's moral and religious heritage. The Influence of the Bible on America is a roadmap for future greatness, not only for America, but for communities and nations around the world. Also included in the influence package is the book, The Bible, Voters, and the 2008 Election by David Barton, a simple and clear resource of scriptural answers to help biblical voters make informed biblical evaluations in their elections. Order the influence package today for $20 online at kcm.org or when you call 800-575-4455. Order this timely DVD and book package and begin walking in the authority and influence God has given you.
With 21st century perspective skewed by geopolitical issues and a global economy, perhaps it has become easy to discount individual responsibility for the communities we live in, or the impact of a single voice on the politics of a nation. But history is clear. The 18th century British statesman and political philosopher Edmund Burke said, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Wherever freedom is born, it is the product of a proactive pursuit. When people seek to be free, doing nothing, in the words of Burke, is never a viable option. In the Old Testament, Moses instructed the children of Israel to be actively involved in the selection of fair and just leaders. And in the early hours of the American adventure, John Jay, the first Supreme Court Justice of the land, said, "Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers." So for the 21st century believer, what is civil responsibility? In practical terms, it is the decision and commitment to participate. In modern elections, as little as 16% of eligible voices have elected our leaders. Become informed on individuals and issues. Learn all you can about the candidates. Pray for discernment and wisdom. And when the time comes, fulfill your obligation as an heir of freedom. And let your voice be heard at the ballot box. Responsibility demands that your voice be heard.
Let me talk to you a little bit more about this DVD, The Influence of the Bible on America. This is vital information. This is a DVD that Brother David Barton has done. And along with that, the Bible, voters, and the 2008 election. Now, even after the election, you ought to be studying this, because these people, you're going to be praying over them, and you're going to have to be believe God in areas after the election, because we're still standing and we're still believing and how it affects and who these people are and how the Bible affects this thing. And as we're standing on the Word, we can change this. Praise God. Now, get hold of this and learn it and teach it and make it a part of your life. Why? Because our daily lives are arranged the same way.
That's right.
A household, it ought to be based on the Word of God.
That's right.
If you're teaching your children how to vote, you teach your children how to stand on God's Word, how things are supposed to be at school. Particularly if your child goes to a Christian school, you got some say-so in there. And, I mean, they make just really screwed-up decisions, too, if they get off of the Word of God. So, get a hold of that take advantage of what God is providing for you. Now, your vote is your seed. It does make a difference. Yeah. Father, we pray over the voting seed of the people all over this world, every nation that gives their people opportunities to vote.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. The word of the Lord just came to me saying, even in those countries that can only vote for one person, get up and go
and
vote. Start praying for that person.
That's
that God change him or her and get her out of there. Use it. Use the thing. If anybody gives you a ballot, you use it and you get it in your heart you believe God and it'll change things.
That's right.
Praise God. That's exciting.
That's
good. Because I've always felt, bless their hearts, they don't get to vote but one person. Well, go vote for him then and do it in faith
instead
of doubt and unbelief. There ain't nothing going to happen. Change it.
Yeah.
We're going to see you in Washington, D.C., November the 13th, 14th and 15th. So don't miss it. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you to help you learn the Word of God and build your faith. Also to pray with you and encourage you with the love of God. And to help equip you to fulfill your destiny and reach out to those around you. Visit our website at kcm.org and surround yourself with the Word of God every day. This is the year of the fullness of blessing, a year for you to receive the blessing without measure.